Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I, of course, am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have an amazing show for you today. This is so much fun for me. I don't believe it's even work to sit down and make 5 new friends a day. How many people get the opportunity to do that? So I always talk about I do this show for selfish reasons. I get to meet the best people, the coolest people, the most interesting, amazing people, and I get to pick their brains and ask them why they do what they do, how they do what they do, and share their stories with you. And so since they are sharing their stories with you, I need you to go ahead and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, someone in your house, someone in your circle that needs to hear this message. Maybe they're an entrepreneur. Maybe they need a business coach, a life coach. Maybe they need information that could change their life. But their lives won't change unless you go ahead and share the show. So send it over to them. Send it in a text. Send it in a tweet. Send it in an inbox. Post it on your social media. Put it out on LinkedIn. Let people know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. So while you're doing your job, I'll go ahead and do my job, and that is to introduce you to the most amazing people ever. And we're going to start with our first guest, Miss Rita Ricks. Rita Caldwell Ricks is unlike any other person on the speaking circuit because she coaches everyone in her view. Her wisdom, wit, energy, and encouragement are the catalyst to inspire her listeners to renew the person within. She speaks to your spirit by sharing her own life experiences. She is a spiritual business coach, inspirational speaker, podcast presenter, workshop facilitator, award-winning entrepreneur, and the author of 2 books, Permission Granted, A Journal of Spiritual Epiphanies, and hashtag Just For Today. Good morning, Rita. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I was so excited. I read your bio and I love picking things apart. And your bio, your information started off by saying, like, you can help anyone. And usually in business, people are like, well, tune it down, find your ideal client. You're like, I can help anyone. Have you found that to be true, Rita?
I have. Even though I may have a target audience, I have sometimes said to folks, let me work with you just for a minute. It doesn't always have to be a long time, but what I do is to show women and a few really smart men how to remove the barriers preventing them from creating the life they were born to live. We all have them. I was very grown up before I realized my barriers because I had embraced them for ever so long. So just to be able to say to somebody, I know there are barriers there. Let me see what we can do to remove them or at least expose them so that you can see them. There's so often times when somebody, when we were young, told us something that we've held on to, told us something we couldn't do, something we couldn't accomplish, something that would not work because of whatever. And we hold on to that. And we become grown people and we still believe something that was told to us years and years and years ago. So I love what I do. I finally figured out what I'm supposed to be when I grow up. And that's a spiritual business coach.
I love it. I love it. Being a business consultant, and an ordained minister, I can completely relate on how they come together. Now, you mentioned you were very grown up. I like that. Like, I was very grown up before I realized that.
And it's exciting. I mean, it is exciting because in April, I will be 74.
Ooh, wow. You do not look like it. You look good. I like it.
You know what? And I tell people, this is how 73 is supposed to look.
Yes.
We have to take care of ourselves. We have to love ourselves, you know, and trust and be giving and just enjoy life. And so, this is who I am.
You are beautiful.
Thank you. Let
me ask you, though, when people say we have to love ourselves, for some people, that's easier than others. So what does that mean to you? Does that mean long walks in the park, exercise, nature, water? What does that mean to you?
It means all of the above, but it starts in here. Mm-hmm. We have to feel the joy inside. And so I have this amazing workshop that's called Living from the Inside Out. And I have 3 steps that individuals need to take in order to begin to connect with their spirit. It isn't about what's going on out here, you know, because out here is how I can be happy today because the sun is shining. I can be unhappy tomorrow because it's going to snow. But there is always joy in here because I expect every day to be my best day ever. It is the only day I have, and it is unrepeatable. I'm not going to see this day again. So why would I ever, ever waste it on thinking about what happened yesterday and worrying about it, or thinking about tomorrow, which isn't even here yet. So I live in the moment, absolutely live in the moment. I journal, I read motivational pieces, and I also spend 30 minutes in silence every morning. That's the time I spend with my creator every morning. And then he and I are co-creators of my life, and we just sort of move through the day.
I like it. I like the silence aspect. I just over the weekend rewatched Eat, Pray, Love. And I like the little button where it's like, I'm in silence. So I get it.
Yes. And so we have every second Tuesday of the month, we had it yesterday. And every second Tuesday of the month, we have different people to come in, and we can do it virtually. We figured that out so we can do it virtually. But when they come back after being silent for 4 hours and we tell them no distractions, you know, just listen. Just, we give them some scripture, we give them some motivational, but it's not about reading, it's about listening. And they came back yesterday, and the breakthroughs are just amazing from 4 hours. And I want them to begin to do 24 hours. I love a 24 hour silence, because the more you're silent, the more you hear, you know? And folks say, well, no, I can't, I don't like not talking for that long. I said, this isn't about not talking. This is about listening.
Yes, absolutely. I love the sound of silence. That's my favorite sound. I just love to be able to think. And it's so funny because in my house here in Long Beach, California, it is real quiet. And anytime someone comes over, they fall asleep. They're like, I don't know, I'm sorry. They sit out on the couch and they're like, they wake up. They're like, I can't believe I fell asleep. I'm like, well, everyone does it. Everyone does it. Yeah. It's the silence.
And Rita, it's the feeling. Yeah, the feeling of the spirit.
Yes. Rita, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest. She has been here before. You may recognize her name, her face, her business, her mission, but we enjoyed her when she was here before, and we definitely hope she comes back. Miss Carrie Klimas. Carrie is a self-discovery life mastery coach, as well as trained in communication, networking, and relationship skills. Her personal growth is important to her and demands the highest and best for herself and others. In her professional work, she trains people in a very deliberate and highly effective strategy to win in all areas of life. She used this strategy to create meaningful and fulfilling relationships with her family, her team, and people all over the world. She has a fun and enjoyable work-life balance, a thriving business, and so much more. Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm awesome today. How are you? I appreciate you having me back again.
Oh, yes. I love getting updates. Like, what's going on? You told us about this last time. What are you doing now? So what's going on in your world, Carrie?
Well, I mean, we are at a brand new year. So, I mean, love month, and of course just to feel it, it's grateful to be letting go of the old in 2020 and whatever was going on. So it's just more freedom, fun. I actually went out dancing last I am in Florida, so I'm in an open state and great weather, so went out dancing on Saturday night. Really good to get out there and be free and feel alive, and just in supporting people who also want to, you know, have that sense of freedom and fulfillment. I mean, we had a 2-day workshop this past weekend, and I decided to take Sunday off because I had a list of things I would like to got accomplished. And I felt if I really got these things accomplished during the week, it feels like I don't have enough time for it. So I said, I'm going to take Sunday off. I had 2 client calls. I got it all done by 2 and went out and did some errands, enjoyed the beautiful weather, and just gave myself again so much more peace and tranquility and feeling good about the things I got accomplished and off the list. And I can have more fun. So yeah, feels good.
Well, thank you for joining us for a little bit of fun. Carrie, what is a life mastery coach?
Well, our company is called Self Discovery Life Mastery. We've been around for 20 years. I've been a client myself for 10. Life mastery, we have to know who we are in order to master all areas of our life. And how we do that is being able to train people in a very simple strategy to be more present and more aware. This is not a concept, but an experience. And I teach people in 5 different techniques and how to quiet the mind and feeling more connected to themselves and getting honest and real how we feel about our car, our home, our friends, our finances, our health and well-being, our intimate relationship, and getting really honest about how we feel about those areas. And some people might feel stuck in some of those areas and don't know how to, you know, see these things flourish and become more excellent. So I support them in creating a vision, mission, and goals, and keeping their attention on the sense of feeling a sense of joy, fulfillment, and fun. It's all about a creative process. If we all about where our attention, where is our attention? Imagine having it and owning it. Like when I went on the dance floor on Saturday night, I owned the dance floor. I put on my best outfit and I didn't get spun around by two guys, but then on my own, I just danced and enjoyed myself. I didn't care what anybody else was thinking. I enjoyed myself. I owned my space and I gave myself that fulfillment of a song called Born to Be Alive. I mean, why not? That's what we're here for.
Yes, your dancing reminds me of John Travolta at the Super Bowl. It's like all of a sudden it comes back. You just want to dance. You want to feel that feeling again. I think that's passionate, very positive too. I want to go back to something you said though, Carrie. When you were talking about the things in your life, it was just interesting that you started off with your car. You know, your car. And I'm like, okay, why does your car stand out to you?
Well, not my car. It's everybody's car and how they feel about it. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, if you're going to treat yourself to things you love, a car, you spend money on the car, house, a phone. I mean, if your car doesn't feel good, it's a part of you. You know, when you sit in it, does it make you feel good? Does it need work? Is it service? Would you like to desire a better car? Because I mean, we literally put our attention on, everything's about attention. And where is your attention? How a car feels. I mean, I wash my car every once or 2 weeks. I wash it and right across the street is a gas station. I get that all done on either Friday or Saturday or Sunday. So it feels good to know that every time I get in that car, it's clean, it's organized, it's maintained, the service is done. And I took care of number one and I take care of everything else in my space. So it all feels good. It doesn't need to steal my attention.
I like that. Sometimes people, I just want to ask questions just to see what they have to say. Why did cars stand out? Excellent answer. And for me, whenever my car gets dirty, I have to go get it washed, because to me, the dirt and any trash in the car shows ungratefulness, that I'm ungrateful for the blessing that was given to me in this car. So I always try to keep everything in my life, from my home to my car to my person, in the best shape possible. Interesting conversation, Carrie. I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Mr. Jelani Clay, or better known as jclay.org. Jay Clay is a spiritual teacher and rap artist that makes music to heal even the most reluctant of minds. He exposes the false beliefs that limit our growth and frees us to be our true selves. Jay Clay's ability to explain deep truths in a way that's melodic and easily understood has allowed him to bring thousands worldwide to a state of peace and joy. Only the weak have enemies, the strong have inner peace. Jay Clay. Good morning, jclay.org. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited because I'm hearing everybody's story and how everybody is kind of related so far on this spiritual journey. And it's refreshing because I don't always get to speak to people, you know, about this. So,
yes. I'm happy to have you. We never know, but I was noticed in the patterns as well, which makes it easy to get into the conversation, because it's like, okay, well, you said this and you feel that. Let's talk about it. But jclay.org, let me ask you, how did you get on this path? How did you get on this journey? Because when you look at, to me, the two extremes, and you may not think it's an extreme, but spiritual teacher, you have one kind of idea or assumption of who this person is. And then you look at a rap artist and you go, okay, you have an assumption of who this person is. So how do you blend them?
So it was a mixture of two. Like I've always loved music, and it's been something I've been doing my whole life. And along this journey, I've been trying to make it as a rap artist. And I've been met with a lot of adversity, perceived failures and things. And I always wanted to understand the world. And at the same time, I've always, you know, looked for these deep answers, like why is there evil in the world? Why aren't people happy all the time? Why do people get nervous? Why are they fearful? You know, just all of these thoughts. And I've kind of studied and just have been open to it and looked at myself the most, more than anything. And they kind of just met up at the right spot. When I got all of these answers, I knew that I couldn't keep it to myself. I had to share it with people. So it started with me making a couple of songs and then just testing it out. See how it will work with people. Like, could I still give the spiritual message, but it not be corny? And it might not seem like I'm being preachy, but it's easy to receive. And what I seen was it was an overwhelming response. People, they loved it. People were sending me messages, say like, wow, this has helped me. This has healed me. And I will say it is a little misleading for me to say that I healed them. It's more so that I removed the barriers in their mind so that they can heal themselves, in a sense.
Very interesting. I think that's a whole topic in itself, because, you know, a lot of the people I'm around, we always have the discussion on who healed who. You know, did you heal them? Did they heal themselves? You know, so it's, I might want to have that conversation after we introduce our next guest, but I'm not finished with you yet, jclay.org. So since you're saying this is the message, do we get to hear some of the lyrics?
Yeah, I mean, I can give some of the lyrics. I can quote a song from Let Go. It's why you holding on? You don't need that. They just feeding BS super strong. You don't eat that. They telling you that you is on your own. You believe that? You get everything you ever want. You can see that. But you feeling stripped because your grip tight. Now that grip is a fist. All you want to do is fight. So your work don't work and your worth won't rise. You think you just about your money, but you want what it can't buy. You can never sit alone because them voices so live. But you always on your own because you push them all aside. At least that's what you see when you look through closed eyes, having a bad pass contest like you about to win a prize.
Ooh, I like that. We're going to have a conversation about that, Jelani. I am going to come right back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Brandon Cockrell. Brandon has a decade of working in sales and marketing for large corporations. Brandon started Litchpin Sales Interactive 4 years ago with the sole purpose of helping businesses and e-commerce brands turn their marketing and advertising into profits. Being all about results, he now runs one of the only true performance-based digital ad agencies in the world. Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
Well, I was doing a lot better before you introduced me after that. I mean, gosh, that was awesome, man. But no, I'm doing great. Thank you, obviously, for having me on. And I feel like I'm kind of the oddball out of everything that everybody's doing here. Someone throw some curveballs in there here and there. But yeah, I'm definitely feeling what everybody's talking about. I think it really hits home with my core values and all that. So I've enjoyed just hearing the stories. I think that's what this is all about.
One of the things that I found, and I've done over 200 episodes, and I believe this is, I think 203 or 204, is that we have so much more in common than we do that's different from each other. So even though you may feel or appear to be the odd man out, you're a successful businessman. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's some of the core beliefs from our other guests that helped you to get there. Would you say that, Brandon?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think, you know, and I just hearing Jake Clay just talking about adversity and perceived failures and things of that nature. I think that's something we can all identify with. I don't think any of us have gotten to where we are without going through that and pushing through it and it helping kind of mold what you're doing today. And so, you know, and it all starts for the why behind why I even started my business is probably along the same lines as why everybody else does. I mean, you hear kind of the same stories that kind of started that journey. And so, you know, I'm always loving it whenever I'm getting on with other entrepreneurs or business owners who really have some similarities whenever it comes to the background. So we can kind of tell those war stories and know and genuinely be able to connect with each other. Just going through that, we know the feeling. And so, you know, it's always cool whenever you get people in the room talking about that.
Yeah, but Brandon, you know, on the Roundtable Talk Show, you just can't tell us you have a war story. Just like Jelani, we got to see, show, and prove. Like, well, we need a war story, Brandon.
Well, if you're asking me to rap, probably not going to happen. That's definitely probably not going to happen. But anyway, no, I mean, you know, obviously war stories, that can mean many different things to a lot of different people. Obviously.
No, but I'm just saying specifically, not to cut you off, but I mean, how did you get here? That for me, I always talk about the fact that I was laid off 8 times. If I had never been laid off 8 times, I never would have taken this journey because I was one of those people who always enjoyed being an employee. Nothing says I love you like direct deposit. Direct deposit was my thing, you know? So that's my war story. So for you to get to one of the only true performance-based digital ad agencies in the world, we need a war story.
For sure. So, well, I appreciate you kind of setting that up for me. So, you know, after being in the corporate world for 12, 13 years, you know, and having the success there and thinking and wanting more, you know, eventually I think everybody, especially in that world, especially whenever you work for good corporations, you're going to run into times where you feel like you want to do more, but the opportunity may not be there. And it wasn't until I had my daughter, who was my first child, who's seven now, but she was actually born with the birth defect. Me, you know, me, my wife, she's great. Everything's going great now. But she and my wife, you know, my wife and I found out through that, going through the anatomy scans and all of that. And it really put things into perspective of really what I wanted and what I was looking at to be the future of not only me, but for my family. And we were concerned at that time about having time to spend with her, taking her to doctor visits and all that. So I knew something had to change at that point. And I've always had it in the back of my mind that I knew I wanted to go off and do something and help people on my own. And it really just, if it was going to happen, I wanted it to happen then. And I kind of got, you know, tired of feeling set, kind of held back in the corporate world. So, you know, my main goal was to stop and said, you know, I'm going to go out and do it on my own. Very naive. I quit basically cold turkey, which whenever you have a new kid, you know, a two-year-old, and then you find out you have a second one on the way, wasn't necessarily what I would recommend. But, you know, I thought that I knew how to sell, I knew how to market, and I could pick up some clients, which, you know, building a brand is so much harder than just going out and knocking on some doors. So I found that out pretty quickly. And, you know, over time and how we've kind of got into the performance-based side of things is, you know, I always knew what I was all about. I knew what the team was all about. You know, my wife works full-time in the business as well. And I knew that we were some of the best out there doing it. And there was a lot of noise in our industry, a lot of noise in our field. And I wanted to really figure out a way to differentiate. And so it really started with, hey, I'm actually going to put my own skin in the game and allow me to take some of that risk off your plate where others are asking for upfront and monthly fees and all that, regardless of what's happening. We're actually going to say, if we're not helping you grow, if we're not helping you build your brand online and scale your business, then we're not going to make money either. And that's really what allowed a lot of doors to open early on and get us to that point, to where we are today with a team of 9 or 10 people continuously looking to grow. And hopefully 2021 is going to continue that, which we fully expect it to. And so that's kind of how we got there. Obviously, there's a lot of in-betweens, but we've only got a certain amount of time for this roundtable. So I don't want to take up all of it.
No, that was great. And I had to push a little bit for that war story, but I appreciate you for sharing. I appreciate you for being authentic. And sometimes I do appear kind of pushy, but I push for a reason, because there are people who watch the show who go, you know what? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. You know, maybe they have a wife that's pregnant. Maybe they have issues that are going on in their life. And I like to be able to show, look at this young man who had a daughter with health challenges, another one on the way, and he quits his day job and starts out on his own path. So what most people see is the 9 or 10 employees that you have now. They always see the success, but they never see the struggles and the decisions and the choices that you make in order to be able to get there. So that was powerful. I appreciate that. Thank you, Brandon. I want to go over to Rita. Rita, listening to Brandon and just him expressing his story, what were your thoughts?
Well, Brandon, I loved how when he first started talking, he said he shares many of the same values we have. So that was my instant connection to him, regardless of what he's doing. And the reason I say that is because as a result of everything that went on this summer with Black Lives Matter and all that was going on, for me, I realized that I do listen and look for values that are similar to mine. So it doesn't matter. It's not as important about the color or the gender. It is more important that we have common, we have common values, because that can just spread all over everywhere. I mean, I just love that. And the second thing that I heard from Brandon is that he, like most of us, and I happen to teach entrepreneurs, we as entrepreneurs have a great idea and we just jump in. Feet first, I can do this. No problem. I know what I'm doing. Where our challenge comes is being the business owner. because that's different from being an entrepreneur. And so I applaud you, Brandon, for 4 years, and you've got 9 folks and you're moving forward, because I'm sure you will agree that you've got to have, you are not necessarily the smartest person in the room all the time. And you have to bring in people who can do those things that you can't do. And so my team consists of, you know, an attorney and an accountant. And, you know, I don't just bring in my mother's aunt's friend's sister's brother to do my social media, you know. So I have to have people around me who can grow me as I continue to do what only I can do.
Yes. Brandon, what are your thoughts in response to what Rita had to say?
Well, I 100% agree, obviously, with the value side that she touched on. And I could not agree more with just the evolution of growing your brand and building a team up. I mean, there's a difference. I mean, you go through different stages and different parts of the business where you've got to be extremely self-aware, or I can't stress the importance of having a coach or a mentor there. I've leveraged that through the 4.5 years now of growing this brand. And it's been so instrumental to my success that I would highly recommend anybody who's out there trying to build a business and kind of go out on your own. One thing that I would recommend from the get-go is tap into a coach or a resource that you feel actually shares your values, because that's extremely important to go out and look for advice and not ask for, and not just look for permission. I think a lot of people will do. And so I agree. Everything she said, the business owner side of it, you've got to be self-aware to be able to, you know, really look in and say, what do I need to do now in order to take the business to that next level, and be comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, that is going to be your biggest thing.
Was it a simple transition for you from working to yourself to working for yourself?
No, you know, and that's one thing that I learned early on. I always tried because I would have a tough time. Now I've gotten a lot better over it over time about making decisions and going with my gut and my instinct and really kind of knowing, and also tapping into mentors and coaches and things of that nature that helped me with that. But, you know, one thing that I knew that I, and the way that I kind of looked at it was, it's not necessarily what I wanted to do, but what I could not do any longer. And I could not do, I become more stressed and have more weight on my shoulders, knowing that there's somebody over me that is making, you know, is making the calls for my career or whatever that may be. And so it was kind of natural for me, I feel like, and that's just being honest. I mean, it wasn't that I knew anything or had anything secret sauce or anything like that. And, you know, it was definitely the exact opposite, but it was fairly natural to kind of go off on my own. You know, now as you continue to grow and you've got to wear different hats at each level of being that business owner, that's whenever some of a little bit more uncomfortableness comes in, obviously, because I'm having to do things I haven't done before. But going on and being in sales and marketing and business development, you're kind of on your own anyway. You know, you're out there with a goal in mind, and you go out there and you're on your way to go try to hit that each and every month. So the transition wasn't as hard as I imagine it probably is for some, but it's going to happen. You know, being uncomfortable, it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Carrie, you had some thoughts you were waving?
No, just agreeing with what he says. He said he wanted to get out there, you know, having people have coaches or mentors in their life, because if you want to be successful in all areas of your life, you know, having somebody that's around us, because our family and friends are doing the best they can. And sometimes we outgrow them and they don't have the means or the knowledge or they have an attachment to us. So finding people who are attached to your business, aren't attached to your personal life, find somebody who has the time and ability, an expert, as we would hire an expert for decorating a gym, market, you know, social media. We hire those people to add value for the things that we can't do or don't want to do, or so we can spend more quality time and everything, you know, be in the business or be more in our life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay Clay, go ahead, Rita.
I find a little bit of difference, and Brandon, you can correct me if I'm inaccurate, but I find that a mentor is somebody who supports you and you can run things past them and they're there, you know, to have lunch with. The coach, on the other hand, is there to hold you accountable. The coach is there to really hear what it is you say you want to do or where you want to be, and then they guide you to getting there. And so where you will tell your mentor, well, we'll have lunch next quarter, the coach is saying, I want to talk to you next week, or I want to talk to you in 2 weeks. And when I began as a spiritual coach, and it's been 12 years ago, there was a bit of a different connotation. You know, because coaching was something, okay, so you want to get here, we'll do it in 3 weeks, blah, 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 blah. What the reason I call myself a spiritual coach is because I really want to know your mind, your body, your spirit. I can't help you with your business till I know truly who it is you are and what you want to be. You know, so I work with clients who have had a business. Maybe they inherited it from their father. I've got one now. She inherited it from her father. It was jacked up when she got it. She's been struggling, you know, now 10 years on it. And she brought her husband in. It's a hot mess. And she wants to be a farmer. Uh-huh. I mean, she doesn't even want to be here anymore. And the stress and the drama. And so she has to, in the class, she has to create this growth plan. I said, then create a growth plan for the farming business, and then you can plan to move out of this current business because she can give it back to her dad or sell it. But I want you to do what makes you happy, not what everybody else says you're supposed to do. We can't move forward like that.
Excellent point. And it's one of the things that I always talk about, because people will say, oh, you're a business coach. Sharifa, you're a business coach. I'm like, nope, I'm not a coach. I'm a consultant. I consult. You know, coaches, you have weekly meetings, or I don't want to do any of that. This is what you need to do. Go do this. And when you finish that, come back. You know, I just want to consult for about an hour or two every now and then. So Brandon, Rita actually asked the question to you as far as the difference, but you, in your opinion, the difference between a mentor and a coach.
Rita, I think you're spot on. I mean, you can, those terms get thrown in together a lot of times. I mean, you kind of heard me doing it because I feel both are equally as important depending upon what stage you're at. And, you know, the fact that coaches hold you accountable, they're there. I mean, it gets lonely. It really does. I don't care if you're married, you got kids like I did, you got friends that are extremely supportive, you got family that's supportive. When you are on your own and for the first honeymoon period, yeah, you may have some people there with you, but they've got their own lives that they have to attend to. And investing with somebody that can be there with you and hold you accountable to keep some of that structure from a coaching standpoint is invaluable. And you don't feel like you're alone, but also being able to tap in as you continue to grow and scale, tap into mentors that are where you want to go and are able for you to see things that may be coming up or things to avoid. Even though someone like myself, I'm pretty stubborn and I feel like, you know, I have to go through the failures and the hard times myself in order to go out and eventually help people one day as well. But, you know, I think that they're both extremely important. But yeah, I mean, they're instrumental and have been for me. And so, you know, I think both are extremely important, but you're spot on with your definition and kind of how you see it.
And I never heard that. Thank you, Brent. I never heard that, Sharifa, how you just described a consultant. That was good because I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I've never really thought about it like that. I've never really considered myself a consultant. Didn't know why. Now I know. That makes sense. So thank you for that.
Yes, because see, I feel a lot of times, and this is just me, again, I have so many different hats from being a business consultant to being an ordained minister. I think sometimes people just need to vent. They need to talk, you know, and I understand that. And I usually am willing to do that once. You know, but I'm not aside the time every week to talk about the same issue we just talked about last week. You know, it's like, these are the items I need you to do. These are the steps that I need you to take, because people come to me for marketing and their websites and their business. And so I don't want to talk about the challenges in your life. I want to talk about, have you done the things that you need to do in order for you to be successful? Right. If not, then I can refer you to a coach that can figure out what's going on as to why you haven't done them. But what I need is for you to do things. Yeah. So that's my life. Jay Clay, we're talking about mentors, consultants, coaches. Do you have some of these great people around you to help you towards your success?
Yeah, I do. I'm involved in a couple of masterminds. I have a few partners where we hold each other accountable for different things. But at the same time, I'm also learning to really listen, you know, as Rita spoke about earlier, to that inner voice, from that higher consciousness, to really know. But it's like it's all fits like a perfect puzzle, and it's all going toward the same goal. So yeah, I definitely utilize everybody.
Carrie, mentorship. You mentor people, you help people, you talk to people to help them to get to where they need to go. What are your thoughts on the whole conversation as far as being a mentor, coach, consultant even?
Well, I mean, I'm a coach, not a mentor, but I understand your descriptions of them. So it makes a lot of sense. I mean, they say mentors, when I read about a mentor, it's like maybe somebody at work, you know, somebody who's in a position and they're mentoring you through that position or the next position. It's within no paid money, I don't think. It's really just seeing somebody and getting more advice and where they're moving. But a coach, I believe, is somebody you do pay, you know, to hold you accountable. You know, I send people a success report. So like today I have two clients I talked to on Sunday. So today I'm going to reach out to both of them and just acknowledge and check in with them, see how they're doing. If they have any, if they got some goals they want to meet before our next call and they're kind of stuck, just reaching out, making sure they are practicing what it is they wrote down last week and their goals. They still have their attention on it. And if they need anything, then I'm here to, you know, spend some time with them if they need to and keep their attention focused on what's important. And just help them resolve that they feel more inspired and motivated that they will accomplish the goals they set out that they want to accomplish come next time we connect.
Okay, so let me ask you a weird question. Carrie, are you still with us? I don't know, because I'm asking my weird question. And then I think I lost Carrie. Okay. Carry it with me. How many Zooms do you do a day on average?
5.
Okay. I'm just curious. Jay Clay, how many Zooms do you do?
Maybe 1 a day.
Okay. Rita?
Probably 3.
Okay. Brandon?
It can range anywhere from 5 to 7. Yeah. Okay. Along those lines.
I actually thought Carrie was going to have more Zooms because you are a coach and all these different things. And it was interesting because I was speaking to a guest on the show. This is the reason I asked. And people always assume that I'm so busy. And she was talking and she was like, yeah, and then I'm talking to my clients and I have about 8 Zooms a day. And I'm like, what? Let's go back. Like, you do 8 Zooms a day? She was like, yeah, I have to meet with all my different clients. And I'm like, I can never do that. Going back to what Brandon was saying about actually having a boss and a routine, like I do 1. Like the round table talk show is the extent of the talking that I want to do for the day. But some people, you know, different strokes for different folks, as they say.
I mean, I had a call before I got on here. I'm going to jump in a Zoom networking call a little bit later. I mean, it could be, I'd say maybe an average from 3 to 7, just depends. I'm going to say average of 5. So it'd be a goal.
Jay Clay, you were going to say something?
Yeah, just to let everybody know, there's an app that I use on a regular basis called Marco Polo. I highly recommend it. Like, you can send quick video messages to people. And it's like, you don't have to always have the full structure of a meeting. You can just send a quick message and always have it. So check it out if you get a chance.
I recommend it. I have friends that use it. I have friends that try to get me on everything. Be on Marco Polo, be on Snapchat, no, I don't want to talk. Like, I want to talk 1 hour a day. That's the extent of the conversation that I want to have. So I don't want Marco Polo anyone sending me videos or sending anything. But Rita, how do you use technology in your business to get your message out?
So I wanted to mention that before COVID, last year, March, I would have clients to come to my office. And that's how I would see them. After COVID, once COVID started, and of course they couldn't come, I went back to talking on the phone, which for me, I love, because I can hear. And I was doing that when I first started coaching. And then I went to visits. And visits can take a while. You know, they really can, because they come in and they take their coat off and then it's, how are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. This way, I'm listening to it. And it is amazing because I have this ability to listen. I can hear their smiles. I can hear when they're hesitant. I can hear all of that. So I do all of my coaching now on the phone. But the other thing that happened was when COVID came, I was at home with this little 12-inch screen trying to teach this class of 16 entrepreneurs, and it about drove me nuts. And I mean, Zoom was just coming at me like this. And so in one of my silences, J. Clay, I was silent for just an hour, just listening. And I saw myself sitting in my desk, and I could see me right here. So I was sitting at my desk, but I could see me looking at this screen. And so I called my IT guy. We ordered a 60-inch screen, which we put on the wall. I've got this camera. We got this desk. And it opened up so much that I had not been doing before. So now I can have not only my cohorts that I teach, but I do what I call Spirit Mastermind, which is a YouTube piece. And then we also extract the audio for a podcast. So there's so much more I'm able to do in my business with what I do as a result of COVID and as a result of, Zoom. So I'm very cognizant of people being overdone, overwhelmed. I'm very cognizant about that. I'll do an 8-week program, or I'll do a 3-week program just so folks can get a taste of what it's like in different mediums. And I think that it's important for all business owners. And I know restaurants and the like have just been hit. And I feel for them. But I always believe when this door closes, there's a window over there that's open. So we spend less time worrying about where we are and spend more time figuring out where do I want to be. Where do I want to be next? Because there were some people who really weren't happy with what they were doing. And now they have permission to do something else. I mean, they should be excited about it, We can't do it with me.
Can't do a woe is me. Yeah. Brandon, you work with new clients. Have you seen the same thing?
As far as
starting something new, starting new businesses, starting new websites, all of a sudden they need marketing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, whenever the pandemic hit, I guess, going on right around this time last year, we started having a lot of people reaching back out. Obviously, that knew they needed more of a presence. They needed to take their business online, especially in the e-commerce space. And so we saw an influx. I mean, it was a lot of new opportunity coming in because people were rushing at that point because they had no other options. And unfortunately, we did have some clients that had physical locations that ended up having to shut the doors. And it's unfortunate. And then you had a lot of clients that maybe had been online, but the product that they sold, one in particular, we had a company that was doing youth jerseys for sporting events. And obviously that got completely done away with at that time. And so they were trying to pivot to, selling different type products. And it's tough. It's tough to just divert and change and go a different direction. And, so we saw a lot of people taking advantage of the opportunity, really getting online, getting that in order, seeing more growth from an online perspective, which was great to kind of see that evolve. But we also saw some of the businesses that really had no other choice as well. So saw a little bit on both ends, but definitely saw more people pivoting to just try to adapt to what has happened. And obviously Zoom, the way you meet and all that. And then I think is going to have ripple effects in the future of how corporations and businesses are looking for their employees, their teams to execute. I think it's going, having the force to now communicate this way is going to change the future of a lot of businesses for sure.
Yes, I would definitely agree. It's one of the things that I've watched during the pandemic. You've seen some businesses be able to survive. You've seen some businesses close their doors. You've seen some businesses where you would assume that they would close their doors, come back and thrive. And I'll give you an example here that we kind of laughed at. It's like we have this whole year during the pandemic, Ross is closed down. And so in California, Governor Newsom, he's making this whole speech. And in the comments, I look and there's a lady's like, he's talking about opening up and people, having COVID. And the lady's like, okay, but when is Ross opening? Like, that's what we need to know. So finally, you know, because Ross, even though we love it, they do not have an e-commerce platform. A lot of people didn't realize that. You can't go to ross.com and buy a shirt. They're only brick and mortar. And so I was like, I wonder if they're going to reopen their doors. When Ross reopened, there was a line around the block. People were like, okay, we need this store back open. So some businesses grow and some businesses don't. Mm-hmm. Jelani, what did you do and what did you pivot during the pandemic to further get your message out?
So it was interesting because that was kind of around the time where I went full force on this. So I was working at NASA for 15 years or 14 years prior to this. And it just all came together where I quit. I said, I'm going full fledged on the music. But
okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Stop. Okay. I think I heard of NASA, right? Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about, the Cape Canaveral, all of that. Like, yeah. how do most people, you know, that would be their dream job. I don't know what you did, but they people dream of working there. And you're like, no, it's not for me.
But see, I always knew music was for me. And I kind of did it because everybody was telling me, you need a backup to music. You need a backup. You're smart. You're good at math and science. And I just kind of listened to that and went down that path. So the whole time while I was working at NASA, I was doing a lot of music stuff, you know, on my own, had different groups. We had success like on radio stations and clubs. We had our merchandise in every mall, but, you know, things kept happening where it would seem like divine intervention where we would fail and I couldn't understand. So it kind of further led me down this path. And not that, like the same thing how Brandon talked about, just you just couldn't do it anymore. You knew your mind was somewhere else while you were there and you weren't serving yourself in the best way. So I knew I had to let go and leave.
Wow. That is so cool. There's this thing called, you know, that I've heard, it's like the Tarzan theory, where you're holding on to this vine so tightly, you can't reach this one. And this is the one you need to get to next. And as soon as you do, as you let go and grab hold, all these opportunities open. So that is the perfect example. You're in what some people might think is great, but it's not you. And congratulations to you, because that's a lot. I agree with, you know, Sharifa. It's like you left that job, but so did I. Probably we all did at some point, you know, where, yeah, but it's not always about the money and right. The security.
And I found myself, like, even at work, I was kind of being lazy. And it's like, you know, it's a quote that I like.
So they were going to fire you anyway, weren't they?
And actually, no, they weren't, because, I mean, I don't know. It was funny. Okay, I'll say this. So about a year before I quit, I decided to say, you know what? I'm going to give my all to this. I'm going to enjoy every moment of this, even though I don't really care for it. And so, like, all of these opportunities started opening up at the job. People were looking to me for special projects. I was mentoring people and everything. But what it did was help me see more of my self-worth and give me even more confidence to let go of that job.
So you had your own hidden figures going on over there.
Yeah.
I like it, but let me just ask you this, because, you know, one of the things that Brandon talked about is his wife and him, they do it together. They work together. This is their business. So often as entrepreneurs, and it was true for me being divorced twice, it's the people in our lives that go, you know, entrepreneurship is crazy. Just get a day job, give up that dream and forget about it. For you working at NASA, I'm sure there was someone around you who was like, okay, rapping NASA, you got to stay. Or maybe I'm wrong.
See, it's hard to say, because I'm very, I can say opinionated. Like I can sway minds in a way and get people to understand certain things. So I think maybe some people might've felt that way, but they wouldn't want to go there with me, because I would bring up all of these examples of why it's best to follow your heart, to, you know, do what you love. So, maybe in the beginning, I would say, like, on the front end of the 14 years, people would say, you know, what are you doing? You know, you should just focus on this. But, you know, toward the end, people understand. And I've actually, since I've started making more positive music, more spiritual music, in line with helping people heal, I haven't gotten any blowback at all. Like, it's like everybody's ushering me in. Like, they knew this before I knew it.
That is powerful. They felt it. They knew it. Brandon, when you set out for yourself, work for yourself, were there anyone around you who said, you know what, stick to your day job?
You know, I was trying to think as he was going through kind of his journey, I was trying to think, you know, if there was anybody that was out there doing that. And I kind of feel the same way. I didn't really have anybody that was telling me to stick to the day job because I already had it, my mind made up. Like I knew what was right for me and my family and, you know, eventually probably my health and all of that. Like I just knew it. Most people were pretty supportive and I feel like they probably saw it coming as well. So they were, they didn't really have any reservations or telling me to kind of keep that day job. So I can't recall anybody that was kind of telling me to stay. I feel like
sometimes
it was kind
you
of
never
the same
know. You have
that.
Parents, you know, like your parents, you know, especially with a pregnant wife, would be like, this is not the ideal time to start out on your own. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think because of that, I probably had some friends that wanted to play the devil's advocate that, you know, I'm really close to, and maybe they would bring that up and say, hey, have you thought about this or thought about that? And, that was nothing but I'm going to succeed was in my mind. Like there was no doubt. Now, once you get out there in the real world, you start getting punched in the face a little bit, you start kind of going, oh gosh, this is a little bit different than what I was dreaming about. But, you know, once you push through that, everything kind of works itself out. But yeah, I never really had any thoughts. I just knew it was right. I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do what I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. And so it was kind of one track at that point. But other than that, I don't think there was anybody. And if they were, I probably would have just stopped talking to them because, you know, we were going full force at that point.
Yeah, that's how people around me are now, especially now. It's like, they're like, Sharifa, we know you're going to do it anyway. We know no matter what, you are going to do it anyway. And then they've seen me go through so many different transitions. And I want to do this. I'm doing this. I'm launching my book. I'm launching the shows. And eventually, somehow, it just seems to tend to kind of work. Mm-hmm. So I just want to see something real quick. I never do this on a show, but I just want to do this today for some reason. We're down to the last few minutes and I wanted to say, hey, to Tay Lee. Tay Lee, are you joining us? You're talking
hey,
to
hi. Are you How with are you? Us?
We have no video. We have audio. We got 2 minutes left. We'd love to see you. Good morning.
Oh,
we love your hair.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Have you heard the show?
No, I haven't. Do you know what we're talking about today or we're just on talking?
We're talking about you. What are you passionate about? What do you love? Who are you and what do you do?
Okay.
Who are you and what do you do?
Oh, my name is Tay Lee and I am the founder of Never Go Broke. We're a financial literacy company. So we help our clients build financial blueprints. We give them financial education, financial guidance. We have workshops, seminars, and games.
I love it. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Carrie.
Yes. If they want to connect and reach out to me, I mean, I can be found on LinkedIn, Facebook, Carrie, K-A-R-R-I-E, last name's Klimas, K-L-I-M-A-S. I will say I'd like to add value today and also promote that I am doing a complimentary Zoom on mastering the art of virtual networking with a group called Network After Work. So it's free. It's on Wednesday, February 24th from 3 to 4 p.m. So you or anybody else out there is looking to add some additional tips, I'll also be sharing a very powerful exercise and learning how to be more present and take value to when you come to events like this. It's always good to pay attention to and really listen to what's being said. But yeah, love to connect with people and get to know each other because, like I said, you just never know who's out there, what else. It's a very big world and Zoom has added a lot of value to my life. You know, don't do many phone calls, but meeting on Zoom and has definitely much more outsourced everything than just being my people, my own backyard. So
yes, powerful, Carrie. Jay Clay, what do you want to take away?
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you want to connect with me, go to jclay.org. The song that I, the verse that I perform, you can get that song free on my website. I have an album that is available for pre-order called I Am Nobody, I Am Someone, which is kind of a guide to this self-healing, self-discovery. Every word was well thought out. Every phrase kind of replays in your mind like an affirmation that just kind of helps remove those blocks. I really enjoyed everyone on the show, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'm going to keep in touch with everybody because I want to know more about everybody, really. And yeah.
You're welcome. That's what the thing I love about the show is that all of the guests connect, you know, LinkedIn, social media, and they stay in touch. So I think that's really powerful. Brandon, what do you have for us?
Obviously, if you want to connect, we try to do everything we can to provide value to, if you're an independent professional and you're looking to grow your brand online, or if you are an e-commerce brand that's looking to scale or kind of move online, we try to give away free tips and videos. You can go to growmystorenow.com and you can check out videos on there, a little bit more about what we do and how we do it. But I think the biggest thing to take away from this discussion is that from my side is hearing everybody's story and values and all that, what you've been through. This is extremely important. I think just having these talks, Sharifa, is amazing, so that everybody could tap in and see that it's not an easy thing to do, but it's possible. And whenever you've got a good support around you, it's going to make it 10 times easier to know that you're not alone, even though you may feel like you are.
I absolutely agree. Thank you, Brandon. Rita, what do you have for us?
So I just want everybody to remember that I am here to listen to you. Whatever challenges you have, just whatever is going on, I am here to listen. And you can connect with me at speaktoyourspirit.com. I also have workshops. I have a channel on YouTube, which is Rita Ricks. And my page on Facebook is Speak to Your Spirit. And I want to remind you all that now I am doing Spirit Mastermind. So that's on my YouTube channel, as well as my podcast, which is on Spotify, because I just, you know, my mission in life is to be the most sought after spiritual coach on the planet. So I need you to connect with me. I also have a hashtag just for today, which is 365 actions that you can take, one a day for a year. And this one right here says, spend your time being productive rather than being busy. There is a difference. So there's 365 of those. And then I have permission granted, which is a journal, because we all need to be writing. This is your legacy, to be able to put your thoughts and your ideas so that you can see them later. Or if nothing else, your ancestors, it wouldn't be ancestors, people coming behind you will have a chance to read. That's why I say for my girls,
legacy.
Got all of these things, huh?
Legacy.
Yeah, the legacy. Thank you. That's exactly right. This is your legacy right here. So I have so enjoyed meeting all of you all. Thank you, Sharifa. I look forward to being on again. I'm going to go sign up because I enjoyed this a lot. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Please go ahead and sign up. We're booked out until May. So I always ask our guests, if you want to come back on the show, go to AskSharifa.com today and sign up, because you don't want to wait until May to decide you want to come back. I might not be able to get you on until 2022. But I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who was watching the show in the archives. But as always, I just request that please don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. I appreciate that. But what I appreciate more than anything else is you visiting our guests. Our guests are here this morning to help you to be authentic, to share their stories. So support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. Go to their websites, follow them on social media, reach out to them, send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit our website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.